What is up, everybody? Kobe Clark here, and now I'm alongside again with Zion Brown and Philip Kahn. Say hello, everybody.
What's up, guys?
Yesterday, we made a podcast previewing the first day of the NFL draft, and we're going to talk about that here today. So first off, let's just talk about the big winners of today in the first round, and obviously, just off the top of my head, definitely Joe Burrow, Chase Young. The Redskins definitely got their guy on defense, and the Bengals got their guy on offense. But those are the obvious ones. Let's talk about going in the mid and the late first round. We'll start off with you, Philip. Who do you think was a winner in this one, individually and team-wise?
Well, individually, I think a guy like Tristan Wirfs is a huge winner, in my opinion. Because, you know, he's projected to probably go, like, maybe even top five. He was just really, after his combine performance, he had a very very impressive 40 time, showed some elite athleticism at his position. He's a guy who really fell. I know on a lot of people's big boards, he was projected to be the first tackle or all O-lineman in general to go, and he fell to the Buccaneers, who was a team that's really revitalized itself this offseason. Knock on wood, you never know how they're actually going to play, but it's really promising future for him and his franchise.
Yeah, individually, I would say a guy like CeeDee Lamb, really, he fell in a good spot. You know, it's not like he dropped too far down in the draft, but he got to a good team. The Cowboys, even though they missed the playoffs, they're still a good team to go to, especially their offense. He's going to be around Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper and Zeke and Dak. And so, yeah, that's a good spot for Lamb to land. And he kind of lucked out there. And I think he'll be successful there in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same route as you, Zion, with the wide receiver and talk about Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. I think a lot of people have him as the best wide receiver in this draft class and somehow goes past Ruggs to the Raiders. He goes from Jeudy to the Broncos. And I think that's just a big win for both teams when you look at it, because Jeudy gets to fit in right away as the top number one guy, wide receiver for Drew Lock and his young team on offense. The Broncos kind of did a lot of rebuilding this offseason, got some nice key players on offense and defense. It's just going to be pretty exciting to see what's going to happen in Denver this year. But for now, we're going to talk about just some losers. Who do you guys think is a couple of losers that happened on the first night?
Well, I would say team-wise, I think the Seahawks just – I mean, there were a few teams that I thought reached, but the Seahawks, Jordan Brooks at the 27th pick, a guy that nobody expected to be drafted on the first night. They picked him at 27. And I just don't think – I didn't hear much about him. I just don't know if that really makes sense for them. Really, I think they're trying to make up for the fact that they will probably not have Jadeveon Clowney, trying to get – a guy that can kind of rush the passer, but just overall, I don't think he's going to be worth that 27th pick.
Yeah, you can go too, Kobe.
Okay. So I think a big loser, in my opinion, was the Atlanta Falcons. They're going to take Terrell with the 16th pick. I feel like they were just a lot of under a lot of pressure when it comes to the corner position because of how they let go of Trufant this offseason. He went over to Detroit, and how Henderson went early and Okuda went early. Obviously, two pretty locked-in top 10 picks, and they didn't really want to trade out because they didn't feel like another cornerback was really waiting and ready for him. So, don't get me wrong, Terrell's a phenomenal player from Clemson. It's just, I don't think they could have got him. I think they could have got him later on.
All right, for me, I'm going to go. This team doesn't, by any means, they didn't get bad players, but they, in my opinion, reached for two players. And that's the Dolphins. You got Austin Jackson, who's a promising offensive tackle out of USC. I think he's going to be a good pro, but I feel like he's a guy that, like me and Kobe discussed earlier, could probably go day two. In the corner, Auburn, I mean, I don't think he's a bad player, but the fit in, like, them taking a corner at this point in the draft is just kind of, I don't know about you guys talking to me, because I'm pretty sure You know, they got Xavier Howard, they got Byron Jones, the two highest paid corners in NFL. They could have used a safety to help that secondary or maybe even middle linebacker. I just feel like the corner position was the most solid place for the Dolphins on defense.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that. Just another, kind of another loser or winner. It's just kind of hard to tell right now with the 49ers because they did get a pretty good package with trading their pick to Tampa for Wirfs. It's just that they traded back in to get, or they traded their late first round pick again, which kind of made no sense to me, but at least they did end up getting Kinlaw.
Yeah, that was a very interesting thing to me because I didn't feel like the 49ers needed to go and get a defensive lineman, especially a defensive tackle. I thought they'd be fine, even though they did trade away DeForest Buckner. But I understand the move, and then they got the wide receiver from Arizona State, Brandon Ayuk, who is kind of an unknown good year there at Arizona State. But he hasn't been able to prove it for multiple years yet. But I think the job in this first.
Yeah, my place on the 49ers is it's kind of a questionable one. Like, I totally got the trade to begin with. You know, you're giving up a guy that you probably wouldn't be able to afford for a really good value pick in the 13th overall. But, you know, as we all know, the defensive line was their strong suit and still is the strong suit of their team. They have three guys that could easily be Pro Bowlers next year and have shown to be really good players. And you just add another guy in the mix, which, don't get me wrong, is just going to make the 49ers a lot more lethal on defense. And, I feel like they got a stud. But was it really in their best interest to pass on a guy like Jerry Jeudy and get a guy like Ayuk, like what you said, Zion? He hasn't proved himself. Or maybe even they passed on a couple corners that I think they could have really been suitable for. But, yeah, that's my take on the 49ers.
All right, we're going to go ahead and transition into a couple of sleepers. And I got two big ones right here. A sleeper, not in the bad way, but that no one really expected, was Simmons falling to the 8th spot for the Cardinals. Definitely the Cardinals got a huge win out of this one. We all know Simmons coming in out of the combine, it was definitely going to be a huge acquisition for any team in the top 10. So it's just a nice to see how the Cardinals really worked that out. They didn't really plan on him being there. It was just kind of just falling in their laps per se. But kind of like another surprise for me would be Arnett to the Raiders from Ohio State. I didn't think he was the right situational position-wise to go, because I don't think they really need a corner at that point. I think they really should have focused mostly on their defensive line.
Well, for the Raiders, you draft a guy in the top five in Clee and Farrell last year, and then you get a guy like Max Crosby, who really showed to be one of the best defensive rookies last year, kind of blew us all out of the water. So I wouldn't really say, maybe interior D-line they could have taken somebody. Like they maybe could have got Kinlaw before the 49ers did to add to that group. When it comes to the outside of the defensive line, I think they're solid. They got Corey Littleton in free agency. So I feel like their linebacking core is pretty solid. They got Jeff Heath he's not a great safety, but he's good enough to start this league, and hopefully their draft pick from last year, Abrams, can come back healthy this year and play a pivotal role. So I feel like a corner would be smart for the Raiders.
Yeah, when I think about a guy that I feel like was a sleeper in the first round that was probably on the board for too long, Ke'Lavon Chaisson from LSU, the defensive end, the Jaguars ended up getting him at 20, and I thought that was a really good pick for Jacksonville. They're going to be tanking next year for sure. They're not going to be a very good team, but they got him. Last year they drafted Josh Allen, who had a phenomenal rookie season. So those two guys will be rushing off the edge for a long time in Jacksonville, I feel like. And so I think that was a good complimentary piece for them to get, especially at that value. And surprisingly, a little bit, Isaiah's not that far down to the Cardinals, but a lot of people had him in the top five, and Simmons from Clemson fell to Arizona. So I thought that was a pretty good value pick for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I would agree on that one. But kind of like another surprise that was going towards my way were the Saints when they took Cesar Ruiz. I didn't think they would really tackle the offensive line, the interior, right away. I feel like they really should have focused on linebacker. But when the Chargers traded up to take Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma, I personally thought that it was going to be Queen, but they didn't decide. They tried to pass on Queen, so they took Ruiz. I mean, don't get me wrong, not a bad pick at all. He's going to be replacing Warford in the next year or two. So I just don't think Ruiz is the right answer. I feel like Queen really could have helped right away in that sense, like push them to get the Super Bowl ring, Drew Brees, for his second one.
All right, so my thing – all right, so another trade that happened was the Packers traded up to get the quarterback out of Utah State, Jordan Love. Don't get me wrong. He's a promising prospect, and Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be around for too while longer. So I get it in a way, but at the same time, they traded up, which might have been because they're in competition with the Colts for Jordan Love. They traded up when I think he could have probably easily fell to them. And you think of Aaron Rodgers and all his disputes with McCarthy last, like, couple years ago, and he got fired. And so he's kind of been frustrated, I feel like, with the Packers organization. And when you take a quarterback in the first round, which we all know Aaron Rodgers had to be extremely frustrated last year, not having as many weapons to throw to as a quarterback like himself should have, for them to take a basically take a first-round pick and he's like, here's your replacement instead of getting a receiver. I don't feel like that was the right move.
I don't hate this move, I guess, as much as you do, because I understand that you have to look to the future. You cannot let Aaron Rodgers just decline, and then once he leaves, and you're just a terrible team. And that's the reason the Packers have been good for the last 25 to 30 years, is because they had Brett Favre, and they were good with him, and then they drafted Aaron Rodgers to eventually take over for Brett Favre's spot. So I think it's an interesting trade, definitely, that the Packers made to go and draft Jordan Love. And I'm not sure how good Jordan Love can be, because he played at Utah State, and the players he played with and against are not on the level of NFL players at all. And so that's the big question mark with him. But I understand completely why the Packers did this. But I still agree with you when you say they have to go get a receiver at some point.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I was about to say is just, you have a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers who, like I said, only has probably a few more great years left in him, if any at all. It's been kind of a rocky road for him the past few years with injuries and not having developmental pieces around him. But I feel like it would have been the best move to take a receiver in this position and bank on someone like Jacob Eason in the future, because he's another one of those guys that would probably fall maybe third round that you could really take under your wing and develop.
Yeah, and I think if you're definitely Aaron Rodgers, you definitely want that person on the outside who you can really target opposite of Davante Adams. They did add Devin Funchess, but he hasn't played in a year since he was in the week one game with the Colts, as we were previously talking about. I feel like just Aaron Rodgers just hasn't had, enough around him in the past couple of seasons, and the fact that he's really talking to the front office about this, and that they're not going to really focus on this wide receiver heavy draft class. Now, don't get me wrong, they still have tomorrow. They really have a good shot at getting still a really good receiver in Mims or Higgins or Pittman Jr. It's just, I feel like Rodgers didn't expect that, and I feel like it's just kind of a low blow to him and the trust that he has in the Packers organization.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've been the team's franchise quarterback for the past, what do you guys say, about 10 years or so?
Yeah, 12, I'd say.
Yeah, and then you take that into consideration, and he's probably thinking in the back of his head, I only got a few more years. I'm really hoping they get me a good, promising young receiver to help me build for the next upcoming years of his career. And then instead of doing that, they're essentially just picking his replacement. Like, as a competitor, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers doesn't really like to see, that young quarterback getting drafted, because he knows how the thing worked out with him and Favre, and how he went to Minnesota and just pretty much left Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers got the spotlight. So it's probably just like probably getting flashbacks of how he did Brett Favre, and yeah, I think he's probably really frustrated after tonight.
So what are your guys' thoughts? Oh, you go ahead.
Well, I'll just say quick here. Yeah, I saw before the draft, Aaron Rodgers wanted a skill position player, kind of. He was on the Pat McAfee podcast, and he basically said it would be nice to get a skill position player, which technically the Packers did do, but it's not a weapon for Aaron Rodgers. It's his eventual replacement.
What are you, as we were talking about previously, Wirfs going to the Bucks at 13, and just like these other offensive tackles before him, like Thomas, who went to the Giants, and just Willis, who went to the Browns, Becton, who went to the Jets. I feel like Wirfs was probably the first or second best offensive tackle in this draft, but somehow he finds his way all the way to 13 at with the Bucks. Do you guys think he is kind of like a slip as well? Or, like, was he just not in the right spot, or just other teams wanted different players?
Yeah, I definitely agree that he just really fell after his – not only did he, you know, play for a solid program in Iowa and show out for them, but his combine was just phenomenal. You know, you don't want that guy – you know, it's probably not as enticing for a team to draft a lineman that runs in the fives – when we're talking about 40-yard dash, but when you got a guy running 4.86, which is one of the fastest times in the past few years, it's just, and he's such a promising, young, gifted player. I just feel like he should have went earlier, maybe compared to some of these other tackles.
Yeah, the way I saw it, I mean, I didn't think he really – I just think it was just more of a fit thing. Like, I could have saw maybe the Jaguars taking him at 9, but they wanted to upgrade their secondary, so they got C.J. Henderson. I thought Wirfs was the third best offensive tackle going in. I thought Andrew Thomas was the best, and I thought Jedrick Willis was the second best. And so maybe the Jets should have drafted Wirfs over Mekhi Becton, but I can definitely see where the potential is in Becton. So I think Wirfs just kind of he got unlucky just with what teams wanted and what they needed, and that's the reason he kind of slipped down to the 13th pick.
Yeah. One thing I want to note, guys, with the Jaguars is just, you know, I would think that they made a good pick. But you think this a couple years ago, they just had Ramsey, or last year, I guess you could say, you know, a really good promising corner, one of the probably top five in the league, I would say. And you trade him away, like, and you just bring in another young corner to replace him. Like, when is it? And now you're talking about trading all the other, like, good assets. So, like, when's it going to stop the process of trading everybody away and just actually keeping your talent? Because I get a Calais Campbell. He's aging. And you want to get some value out of him before he kind of loses that value and ages more. But Ramsey's a guy I felt like they should really have kept around. And Ngakoue is a guy that's probably going to get traded or is on the cusp of it. And they definitely aren't on good terms, so... I just don't know if it's the players are drafting or if the organization just isn't professional enough, or I don't. What do you guys think about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
If I had to just sum up what Jacksonville's gone through in the past 3 years, it's just that they really just missed such a big opportunity playing the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, falling just short. Everyone remembers how they made it there, but it was actually a pretty close game, even with Blake Bortles as your quarterback. They just had so much skilled players, like Ramsey we were talking about. Like, he was definitely, like, probably the number one corner or top three corner. And the fact that Leonard Fournette may not even want to be there now. He's trying to find a trade. He's trying to get openings right now. It's just a lot of uncertainty in that locker room. And it's kind of scary to see what's going to happen in this next year or two, depending on what the Jacksonville Jaguars want to do.
Yeah, speaking of Fournette, you know, there's three or four guys tomorrow that might go that are, you know, top tier running backs. I feel like they can really make a direct impact. And what do you guys think about the Fournette's trade value, given that there's so many great options at running back tomorrow?
I think it could be very interesting to see if they do trade him tomorrow. I was somewhat expecting to see a current player be traded today, but it didn't happen. You had guys, like you said, like Leonard Fournette or for another player for the Jaguars, Ngakoue, who does not want to be there at all anymore, and then Trent Williams in Washington, Malik Hooker here for the Colts. All those guys were kind of being talked about, even a little bit Jamal Adams for the Jets. They were being discussed. Maybe they could have been traded, and they weren't today. And, yeah, I think Fournette's a very good trade option, maybe possibly for tomorrow, because, yeah, there are some solid running backs coming up in the second round. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the only one taken in round number one with the very last pick. And it could be, I mean, Fournette has some value. I don't think it'll be the top 10 type of value like he was when he was drafted, but he is still proven to be a very good running back. He just has some injury problems at times.
Yeah, and I think of the running back position and a guy like Edwards-Helaire, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, coming into this draft, I kind of thought he might be the third, maybe even the fourth running back off the board. Even though I was really high on the guy, I just feel like he's kind of gets slept on because of his size, and he doesn't have that home run hitter speed, if you guys would agree with that. But a really good solid piece for the Chiefs. Really good football IQ, really hard working player. I feel like him in the passing game with Mahomes and just being a I feel like he's a workhorse running back that can is really versatile.
Yeah, I feel like for tomorrow going into the draft, we're going to see probably the most trades we've seen in this draft that's going to happen, that would happen today or after tomorrow. I feel like this one's just kind of trade heavy with what everyone really wants. Not really just trying to find that one guy. It's just trying to like trying to just fit the need and see what this can happen with your team in the future. But it's going to be quite interesting because the Patriots, who is another team that's kind of on the topic right now, have 22 overall picks in the next 2 years, 10 this draft, 12 this next year's draft, and they haven't really executed at all since that Rob Gronkowski trade. It's just going to be kind of seeing where they're going to take their team and what really Belichick wants to do with them. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Zach.
As far as, yeah, the Patriots go, they have a lot of picks like you talked about. I want to them. I don't know how to read the Patriots. And they're really, I mean, when you look at it, especially in the early rounds, they're not very good at drafting, which is kind of, I think, what sometimes with traded is they never really got him a legit guy, a legit receiver after Gronk, really, that they drafted. So... but I think they could end up moving off a lot of their picks. They could be in like a semi-tank mode a little bit going into next season. And so they might be looking forward to next year's draft rather than being stuck on this 2020 draft.
Well, all right, so one question I want to impose to you guys is, yeah, granted, this NFL draft is very far from being over. But thinking about the first round and thinking about just a team's offseason, the free agency moves in general – what's one team that's really stood out to you that's really made like an immense amount of progress this offseason?
Ooh, that's kind of tough. Definitely on the top of my list, just be Denver, just because they really found that guy who can really run their offense in Drew Locke, and that they seem to trust him with the keys of the offense, and that they finally got some players around him like Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon, who they just signed from the Chargers, and now drafting Jerry Jeudy. And of course, they still have a young tight end and Noah Fant. They're going to be an interesting team, could potentially try and fight for an AFC wildcard playoff run, even with the Chargers and the Chiefs in their division.
Yeah, right. what I would say is the Buccaneers. Definitely, I mean, just the obvious, getting the Hall of Famer Tom Brady, Hall of Famer and Gronk, and just upgrading that a whole entire team, and then getting a good pick with the Wirfs in the first round, and then the Cardinals being able to get Hopkins without sacrificing a first-round pick, and then using your first-round pick to get Isaiah Simmons, who could possibly turn that whole defense around. So, yeah, the Cardinals and the Buccaneers both have done a pretty good job thus far in the offseason.
All right, so one team that just pops out to me is a team that's really developed a lot of draft capital while getting good free agents is the Miami Dolphins. you know, they've traded away guys that, you know, don't really want to play for the team. They've gotten good picks out of them, and they bring in a free agency, like guys like Byron Jones, Kyle Van Noy, Shaq Lawson. I feel like all three of those guys are just outright game changers for that defense next year. Got really good, smart football players, and you got a corner who, in my opinion, maybe top five right now. He doesn't get, you know, the interceptions as the typical corner that you'd put up there, but he, nonetheless, he's really, you know, a freaky athletic specimen, and has shown to be a really, you know, solid corner for the Cowboys. And then you get your three first-round picks, which is just impressive. And you get, you don't make the same mistake that you did with Drew Brees back years ago, and you take, you know, in my opinion, the best quarterback in this draft, and Tua Tagovailoa. You know, the injuries concerns are there, but he's the guy you have to take a risk on. And then you get Jackson, the tackle out of University of Southern California, USC. He's a guy we talked about, got drafted a little bit high, but, you know, he seems like a really good kid, has a good heart, a really good football player. I feel like he'll be a great piece to add to that O-line and protect Tua for years to come. And then the corner out of Auburn, although we kind of argued, oh, they may not need it, but if he, this guy turns out to be a good corner, they have a really monstrous secondary.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there. But, yeah, I mean, time will tell who really did have the best offseason, because you never quite know for sure. Now we should start looking towards tomorrow in this day two of the draft, rounds two and three. Who are some guys you think will be off the board early, and what are some needs some certain teams need to fill?
Definitely off just the top of my head, number of players that are going to be taken is the running backs, just like J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor. Those two definitely are going to probably be the biggest ones, especially with DeAndre Swift. I just, the first round, you didn't need, like, many teams weren't, like, in need of running backs, but definitely if you see a Jonathan Taylor just fall in your lap, I couldn't be able just to pass on him. But just also with the, probably the best two players that weren't taken were Delpit and McKinney, from LSU and Auburn, or excuse me, not Auburn, Alabama. They were just not taken upon themselves, and I just don't, I think most of the time the combine didn't really help them at all, but they're going to be kind of early picks tomorrow, I would say.
Yeah, for me, I would say two positions that stuck out to me that didn't really get, you know, much attention tonight, really didn't have many that picked, didn't have that many picks at these two positions, but I feel like there'll be a massive run towards the beginning, middle of the second round, maybe even into the third round. And those positions are safety and running back. You know, you got guys like Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift. Three guys I think can come in right away and make a huge impact on their teams. And safeties, he's got guys like McKinney, Delpit, who, you know, are really top-tier safeties at the position. And you guys got Antoine Winfield Jr., safety out of Minnesota. He's got good roots. You know, he's been learning a lot from his dad through this process, and I feel like he's a very solid safety, along with Jeremy Chinn. He's a D2 prospect, but his athletic traits are just phenomenal. Questions because he plays D2. But those are some guys I feel like will go off the board fast in positions that haven't really got picked tonight.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what Kobe said about the running backs. We will see a lot of running backs be drafted in day two. We got guys like DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, guys that are really legit players. It's just that none of them are special. And when you're not a special running back, you're just not going to be taken in the first round, because that's such an easy position to get. But that doesn't make them bad players. They're still going to be quality players in the NFL. And, yeah, there's a lot of safety still out there. Grant Delpit is a really interesting player for me. He struggled with injuries, and sometimes he was a bad tackler last year at LSU. But I really do think he's a special, a really good player. And the Colts, They had the 34th pick, the second pick of the second round. And if Delpit is there, that's a guy that I think I would like them to take. Also, T. Higgins stands out to me, the wide receiver from Clemson. I think in a lot of drafts, he'd be a top two or three receiver. But just because this year is such a loaded wideout class, he's kind of fallen, you know, at the back of the crew. But I think he can be a quality wideout in the NFL.
Yeah, I feel like with T. Higgins in particular, there's teams that are really high on the guy that would probably potentially take him in the first round. And there's guys that kind of push him off, like brush him off in comparison to some of these other receivers that are still available, like Denzel Mims and Pittman out of USC. I think T. Higgins is also kind of a big thing with him is, oh, you're playing with a phenomenal quarterback. You have other weapons in the offense that are getting attention, so it's not like you're just getting all the workload. But I still think he's a promising young prospect. I think he's going to have a lot of success in the NFL. It's just what team is really high on him, what team's kind of sleeping on him.
Yeah, talking about Higgins, he was definitely one of those early draft prospects in the early stages of the mock drafts coming out that's supposed to be a first-round pick. And just to see him slip down to the second round or third round, is just going to be kind of surprising towards me, at least. And just those other wide receivers you're talking about are still left, like Pittman. We all know that he's pretty, like, legit, and he had a pretty good season with USC and all those alternating quarterbacks that he had to deal with over there. And then Mims, who's just, just kind of built strong, kind of like in the same way as Michael Thomas. He's got the kind of same strength on him. It's just going to be pretty fun to see what happens tomorrow.
I would definitely agree with that. You know, me and Zion are Colts fans pretty much, and you're a Saints fan. So, Kobe, with the Saints not having a pick till the third round, I believe, what's your game plan for the Saints tomorrow?
Well, I would like them to trade up, obviously. I think the position we are in desperate need of is linebackers, since Klein left just this past offseason. I think that's going to be a huge need that we need to focus on. And if we don't ever trade up towards that pick, we're probably just going to have to sit pretty and just probably wait to see really what helps Drew Brees, in the sense that this could potentially be his final year. I think you got to get him another offensive weapon alongside Sanders and Thomas. I think Mims would be a great selection. I don't know if he'll make it that far, but out of the wide receivers left, I would take Mims, but Zach Bond is a defensive linebacker that I would really want the Saints to take.
All right, Zion, I'll let you get the first take on the Colts.
As I kind of mentioned, I really like T. Higgins and Grant Delpit. I don't know if the Colts necessarily need a safety, though, but I think Delpit's just one of the best players available. So I think the Colts, if they have the chance, I think they should kind of just ignore the need and just go and get Delpit, because he's a really good player. And I mean, the Colts also could draft a quarterback tomorrow. Hopefully, me personally, I don't want it to be in the second round. If they did draft a QB, I'd want it to be in round three, but obviously Phillip Rivers is not going to be in Indy forever. It might not be more than a year. Who knows how long he's going to play and how good he will be with the Colts in this. So definitely I think the Colts should draft a quarterback at some point in this draft. And day two, even though a lot of people kind of zone out on day two and, you know, stop watching it, that's the pudding, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Day two, the second and third round pick is what really makes a team good and separates the good teams from the bad teams.
All right, so my take on the Colts, Zion. You know, I have kind of mixed emotions about drafting a safety early, because first off, if we don't trade Hooker and everything's cool with him in the organization, I kind of don't want us to take a safety early per se. But when you got two guys like McKinney out of Alabama and Delpit out of LSU, it's kind of just hard not to tempt yourself, because those are guys that I believe can be top-tier safeties in this league if they develop a little bit more. But if we do trade someone like Malik Hooker, see if he's deleted all of his photos off his Instagram page, which I think is really interesting to look into. Maybe not, may not be something too special to look into. But if we do get a second round pick or so, or a third round pick out of Malik Hooker, I definitely want the Colts to take a safety in the second or third round. Another position of need I think the Colts are, I want to say, desperate for, because they have potential to be strong at this position, but I wouldn't be mad at is corner, because you guys, you know, we got people like Jalen Johnson, Christian Fulton, Trevon Diggs, Bryce Hall, guys like all of those guys that are on the board still. And the Colts, they have Xavier Rhodes, a guy who, let's be honest, in the last couple of years, he's looked pretty washed. Do I think that he can bounce back next year? I 100% think he can. Then you got Kenny Moore, who's a stud. Rock Ya-Sin, I think he's going to have a breakout year next year. Maybe not a breakout year, but he'll show his improvements. And I think he, at the end of the day, here in a couple of years, he's going to be a really good corner for the Colts. But then outside of that, you guys, you know, we got Marvell Tell, a guy who's kind of promising, but is kind of iffy in a way. So I wouldn't be mad at corner. Defensive line, maybe third round, try to snag one of these interior D linemen. Maybe say someone like a Ross Blacklock. I don't know how far he will drop. I definitely think he's an intriguing prospect for the Colts. Eder Gross Matos and AJ Espinosa are two guys on the edge I wouldn't mind us getting, because, let's be honest, Justin Houston's not getting any younger. And Colts and Chris Ballard and company just love that depth on the D-line and O-line. So I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Moving to the offensive side of the ball, we got guys like Josh Jones, Urza Cleveland, Lucas Niang on the board. A couple of those guys like Jones and Cleveland will probably go way before like someone like Niang. But as a realist, I feel like the Colts would probably go with one of those guys, maybe, because Costanzo probably only has a couple more years left in him. Wide receiver, there's definitely guys out there like Mims, Pittman. You really can have your choice. You can't really go wrong here. There's so many good, promising receivers. Running back, I like Marlon Mack. I feel like we should extend him after this year. But if that's not our plan and we're planning on Mack playing one more year with us, then I would be intrigued in taking a running back in the third round.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty solid in-depth. I would disagree, though, about the running back. I think Marlon Mack is fine, especially when you got Wilkins backing him up along with Nyheim Hines. I think we're pretty set at the tailback position. But, yeah, everything else you said, I think, as far as the Colts go. But, yeah, who do you guys think really needs to have, as far as the teams go, really needs to have a good day?
I would like to see what the Bengals can really do with that first pick in the second round. I mean, I don't think they would necessarily go with a wide receiver, because they have Boyd and Ross, and we don't even know if AJ Green will even be playing next year. But that's a huge team. I want to see what can happen with them. The Lions, see what they can really focus on, because they got the big player that they wanted. Some rumors going out that they wanted to trade the pick, but didn't happen. And, of course, all those other players we were talking about earlier on, how, like, Trent Williams could be traded, and Ngakoue could be traded, Fournette could be traded. It's just going to be a huge, interesting part of day two, because day two is really known for that trading aspect of the draft.
All right, so for me, a team that has kind of dug itself in a hole, that's the Houston Texans. I feel like they've given up too much draft capital, given up too many good players. I'm looking right here at a board, and it has them picking 40th. So, we all know they didn't get a first-round pick. So I think with Deshaun Watson, I feel like he's growing more and more frustrated with the organization, because, that's like when Andrew Luck is playing, that's like trading T.Y. Hilton away. Like, I just don't feel like you take your number one guy away from your offense, especially DeAndre Hopkins. He's a top three receiver in this league. But I feel like they really need to hit on this pick, or if not, I don't see them playing any better than they did last year.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you, Philip. That was going to be one of the – really, for me, it's just any team that didn't. So I look at Houston, I look at the Colts, and I look at the Los Angeles Rams. And when you don't have a first-round pick, you got to be able to make good second- and third-round picks, or else there's a good chance that you're just going to have a bad draft, which is what no team ever wants. So, yeah, all those teams need to make wise picks and get players in that are really going to be beneficial for them this year and in the future.
Yeah, definitely what you pinpointed right there was the Rams. They don't have a first round. They didn't have a first round pick. And so other important teams like the Bears didn't have a first round pick. Steelers didn't have a first round pick. And those three are just like, they like got some great players in free agency. It's just like, what can they really do in this second round to like boost up and to get back to where they were? Because the Rams just a year ago were in the Super Bowl. The Steelers, we all know where they were just a couple years ago, just kind of fell off this past season with no Ben Roethlisberger running their offense. And the Bears obviously just got double doinked and out of the playoffs. Both teams really just upgraded. All three teams really upgraded, but they just kind of took a step back in 2019. And it's just kind of interesting what's going to happen tomorrow in 2020.
All right, so specifically talking about the Rams, I think they're a team that has really put themselves in a bad situation as well. You think of Corey Littleton, a guy who has kind of broken out the last 2 years. He's been a really solid linebacker for the squad, and to let him walk and go to the Raiders is obviously a key loss. And when you think of them trading for Jalen Ramsey, he was the piece they traded for to obviously strengthen their secondary. And I feel like at the time of the trade, they were really thinking, man, if we get this guy, and we could really contend for a title. And they get him, and then everything goes haywire. Now they're releasing Todd Gurley, who 2 years ago was one of the best backs in the league. And they're losing key pieces left and right, it seems like. And Goff isn't really developing the way everybody thought he would. He looked really promising the year they went to the Super Bowl. And last year was just... it was just horrible for the Rams. They had a lot of potential. Granted, they played in that really tough division, but the Rams are a team that really need to get their act together, because guys that you trade for, like Jalen Ramsey, and guys that are great on their team, like Aaron Donald, you know, kind of grows old losing, and they have the talent to go to the Super Bowl, but they've let too much of it walk away, and has lost draft capital. I can go on and on, but Rams are in a very bad position.
Yeah, that should be interesting to see how they work tomorrow. I mean, they did still have a winning record last season. It seemed awful, but then you look back and they finished 9-7, and under this new playoff system, where seven teams are going to get in, if that was the Rams playoffs. So it might not be the sky is falling quite yet for them. But, yeah, I think I pretty much covered everything I thought I needed to cover. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think I'm solid.
I just wanted to talk about how the quite a bit of reports have come out about Alvin Kamara and the way that he may be traded. I don't think that would happen. I have not heard that. You haven't heard about that? Mm.
Nah.
It's mostly on the
New Orleans website.
Yeah, a lot of those, they've been talking about they want to trade him and really just try to get a higher pick in the first round. But obviously, I don't think that's going to happen now. But just reading into it more, like they're just trying to, if they really want to focus on, because he didn't have a good year this season, not kind of took a step back last season. But I think with Cesar Ruiz, I think that's going to boost his ability to run, because that's going to help the inside more.
Yeah, I haven't heard a thing about Kamara getting traded. I feel like he's a vital piece to that offense. He makes it click. He catches passes out the backfield, and he's, you know, easily a top 10 running back in my opinion. So, yeah, I don't think it would be in their best interest to, when you're, you know, possibly in title consideration next year, which the Saints, in my opinion, are, you don't trade away your star running back.
Yeah, I wouldn't understand why they would even try to think about that, but I think he's pretty safe now since day one's over. That was really the only point that they're trying to get, is trying to just get more into the first round, like top five or top 10, to really focus on probably a quarterback like Tua or Herbert. But obviously we didn't go in that direction.
Yeah, I feel like what reporters kind of do is they manipulate things, because you think of a guy like Alvin Kamara, who took a little bit of a step back last year. And you're like, oh, the Saints got people like Jenkins and Sanders, so they're a couple good, quality draft picks away from really running away with NFC next year. So it's just people blow it out of proportion. The Saints might be a little bit worried because of the step back, but it's nothing that they would consider trading, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's nothing they could fix. Obviously, had how they had Latavius Murray come in, he really had a great season, especially down in the later stages of the regular season and into the first game of the playoffs. But I don't know. I just think that Alvin Kamara is definitely going to be staying. I just really want to see a lot of more production out of him this year, and hopefully Cesar Ruiz is going to help that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was with you, Kobe, with the linebacker. Like, you obviously went clean right there, but Ruiz, you said, is going to replace Warford here in a couple years or so. So kudos to the Saints for not making the fan favorite pick, but the pick that's probably one of the smartest that they could have right there. I wouldn't have been mad at linebacker either, but yeah. Saints made a solid selection, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people really focused on Queen, but when it came down to Murray or Queen, I personally like Murray just a bit more, just because he was a starter all 4 years and he really grew as a player and how his stats just kept growing and growing. Queen was just like a raw talent that really just started this season and didn't even come close to what Murray really had production in. It was just like pretty much a link between LSU and New Orleans, I would say, but yeah, definitely I like the pick with Ruiz. It's a safer pick, and the longevity of it will come out faster than the linebacker quote.
All right. Kobe, tell everybody what we got planned for tomorrow.
All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to be recapping day 2 and day 3, pretty much what we just went through today about day 1. Just pretty much bring that on over, see anything that happens big and anything news-wise, and we're going to give it all to you right here on WBDG's Audio Boom. You guys, anything last words you got to say?
Nope. Thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening. Stay safe. Hope you guys are listening to this at home. Stay inside as much as possible. But yeah, I appreciate everybody that gives us a listen. Yeah, that's about it.
All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow.